10 minutes after 4 o'clock here on Downtown on a Monday afternoon. Well, of course, not only New England, but the whole country wondering what's coming up next in the whole Deflategate matter. We thought we would actually talk to somebody who, well, knows something about the law. And so we're pleased to welcome to the show Steph Stradley. She's a lawyer down in Houston who also writes a blog on football for the Houston Texans. Steph, thanks so much for being with us.
I'm glad that you invited me. What's up?
Well, this whole Deflategate thing has got the average person confused, and some of the legal experts as well. And why not? I think you referred to it as Law and Order NFL. So let's talk about what we know. It does appear that Judge Berman has taken firm control of this case.
Yes, you know, there's some cases that when you look at it from the outside, it's pretty evident that this shouldn't be a situation where you need to use basically taxpayer money or the judicial resources to tackle the situation. And, you know, when it comes down to brass tacks, we're talking about an equipment violation. They are going to federal court over equipment violation. That's what it really is if you just take everything away, you know, the lawyer language, all that. That's what this is all about. Now, the difficulty right now is Judge Berman is doing something very unusual. A lot of these cases have gone even over years where they're not resolved. This is something where it came to him. He knows when the season is. He knows that people are watching it. He would prefer not to be working on it. And that's with all cases. Most judges want you to settle. But to clear off his decks and say, I'm going to pay attention to this. I've already read this. This is what I want. This is what I want you to do. But he says, like, settlement, like, as much as any judge can say settlement. And he's putting a lot of negotiation pressure points on both parties to say, hey, I really need you to settle this between yourselves. Now, he says that he's going to make himself available for the litigation, but he's really making it clear to the parties that he wants people to settle.
Well, and today, I believe, was the day that he approved all of the dates that were set for oral arguments and negotiating sessions, essentially. So there's definitely a firm schedule in place that would see this wrapped up no later than September 4th.
Well, from his part of it, you know, that's what would wrap up his part of it if it all, comes all the way down to him having to make a decision. But it could be that, you know, we don't know what he would decide. I don't have a good sense of him as a justice or judge and how he would decide things. So if Brady loses, then there's questions as to, you know, does he seek an injunction, which it looks like he would, given, you know, the posturing before the NFL filed. So, you know, let's say he files an injunction, he wants to play, and then they appeal it. And then it's whatever amount of time that appeals court takes to look at his, you know, injunctive relief and look at, you know, the merits of the case. I mean, that's why it is in the best interest of everyone for this to be settled expeditiously. And, you know, I wrote a blog post about that, goodness, last night, very late. And it basically talks through all the different things that Berman is trying to do to get the parties to settle. And it answers a lot of the questions that people have, you know, because, you know, and the reason why legal people are having a hard time with this is just so unusual. And Roger Goodell's expansion of his powers really didn't happen until after the last CBA was hired. You know, the CBA was agreed upon, and it wasn't that different from the previous CBA. It's just that Roger Goodell pushed the limits of his power more when, let's say, Bountygate happened. So for me, this is a lot of deja vu because I've been writing about these issues since Roger Goodell first got into power. And when I wrote about the Bountygate issues, I would get all these Saints fans contacting me, asking me questions about it. And if you just change the names, the Saints fans were just as mad as the Patriots fans, but the rest of the world didn't seem to understand all the details of why they were so angry with the way that Goodell was treating them. And I think in some ways the NFL has relied on that he knows that he'll be tough on one team and those fans will be mad, and that team might be mad, but the other 31 teams are just like, they either don't care or they're happy it's happening to somebody else.
We're talking to attorney Steph Stradley. By the way, Steph's blog, which is terrific, is available online at stradleylaw.com. And in that new blog, Stephanie, you say the best settlement for everybody would involve no games for Tom Brady sitting out. Why would that be best for everyone?
Well, I think what I do in the blog post is just kind of walk through things. And walk through the commonality of things, because there's going to be certain things that the NFL and Brady are just not going to agree on. I mean, Brady testified under oath in his arbitration hearing that he didn't have knowledge of any of this. Okay, so, you know, there's nothing more that he can do as a person to claim his innocence. And, you know, proving a negative is extraordinarily difficult. So, obviously, the commissioner does not believe in him. But there's a lot of things that they do agree on. And a lot of the things, you know, they like football. Controversy is not good for the actual game of football. Not having the best players on the field is not good for the actual game of football. There's a lot of different things that, you know, having some certainty as to when people are playing is good for football. Having having this behind both the NFL and Brady is good for both parties. So there's a lot of different things that they have in common, and as to the issue of whether it happened or didn't happen, you're going to agree to disagree with it, but really there is an agreement that the only person that knows for a fact what he knew and when he knew it is Tom Brady. And the best that the Wells report can come up with is more probable than not he had general knowledge of the actions of others. Well, are you going to cause this kind of disruption over that? I mean, there's no real reason why they picked 4-game suspension versus a 2-game suspension versus a 1-game suspension versus banning him indefinitely. There's really no logic that's given in the arbitration ruling. You know, they analogize it to, you know, PEDs, but really, PEDs have a specific penalty that's written in the standards, and so does ball alteration, for that matter. That's supposed to be a team violation for the person who actually did it, or the team that actually did it. It's not for the player. There's player fines. And so Roger Goodell's trying to argue, well, they're bootstrapping these other things in, and this is sort of like PEDs, but as I show in my blog post, what they did in the Bountygate case, they actually did have a neutral arbiter. And Paul Tagliabue said, you know what? I think all these things happen, and maybe there's some quibbles on the details, but I'm going to not uphold the suspension and not issue any fines, because I don't think that these players knew what they were doing was a thing. They weren't aware that this was an issue. And it's a huge swerve of policy to do suspensions and fines for this sort of thing, so I'm not going to uphold the penalties. And the reason he did it was for the good of the game, for the good of the game for all of us. And he need, you know, that is a mature approach to this. What Roger Goodell has done to date is not a very mature approach. It's the approach of somebody who's really angry about the situation and is reactive. But we shouldn't have to use the court system for every time that Roger Goodell wants to do integrity and stuff. You know, I don't know what his, you know, this is, how is this good for the game and good for the brand to drag different fan bases through this whenever they can't just handle something like most sports do. You know, would this happen in MLB?
Right.
In the NBA? It wouldn't. This is ridiculous.
And Steph, for the Patriot haters out there who say, yeah, let's see Tom Brady get smacked down with a 4-game suspension, your advice is be careful what you wish for, because with a commissioner that seemingly makes these decisions based on absolutely nothing but whim, be careful, because it could be your team next.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially if the standard is the general knowledge of somebody else's action, for something that's not specifically written in the rules. You know, you can pick any player from any team, and they might have general knowledge of something, and they might not know that the NFL thinks that that's a big deal. Now, there's all sorts of cultural rules in the game that people have always done the way they've done them, and nobody's really paid attention to it. And when you kind of swerve reactively to whatever the controversy du jour is, it's very random who gets pegged. And so for a while there, you know, the fans in New Orleans thought, well, the reason why he's getting away with it is nobody's paying attention, because we're here in New Orleans and the media doesn't care that everybody's getting this story wrong. Or there were very few people that were paying attention to these process issues, because they're not flashy issues. You know, it's more flashy to talk about broken phones and leaks and all sorts of stuff. It's not flashy to say, you know what, we should have fair processes in place. And the thing is if you follow the CBA, the way the CBA is written, and not push the envelope of how it's written, that can be a fair process if you try to make it a fair process as opposed to just saying it's fair. I mean, there was nothing independent about what the Wells Report said, and a lot of people were impressed with, you know, who wrote it and what his background is and what the firm's background is. But if you read the report, it was obvious on its face that it was written from an advocacy perspective. It was obvious. And I was mad about it, too, because I wanted a truly independent report. I wanted to know what happened. And I read this, and when I saw that there were some ridiculous inferences being made, I mean, I understand that there were some text messages that kind of looked bad on its face, but I also saw that they interpreted some of the text messages in just absolutely ridiculous ways and almost went out of their way to reveal embarrassing texts that were barely relevant to the case at hand. And they did the same thing against Richie Incognito in Miami, where they released a whole bunch of his text messages that had hardly anything to do with the controversy there, but it was very embarrassing to him personally. And there's a number of people that have kind of come out and said, you know, they took a lot of that stuff out of context, but, you know, it wasn't widely reported because nobody was supporting Richie Incognito because, you know, he has the reputation that he had. But that, you know, that's the thing. You have fair process for everyone, whether it's a player that you like or a player that you don't like. And that way, it's fair for everyone.
Steph Stradley, great to get your perspective on this. Steph, a lawyer in Houston, writes a terrific blog about the Houston Texans in the Houston Chronicle, and also wonderful, wonderful information on Deflategate. Check it out at stradleylaw.com. Steph, thanks so much for making time for us this afternoon.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Steph Stradley on Downtown. Again, Stradley.